You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, I've got the campaign brief ready, built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Approved. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at Monday.com.
A brutal New York Times article just dropped about J.D. Vance that confirms every single thing we have been reporting on over the past few months, and even some of the speculation that I've been doing on my channel about his competitiveness with Marco Rubio within the Republican Party. It's no secret that there have been factions developing behind the scenes and outwardly in the Republican Party between J.D. Vance Republicans and Marco Rubio Republicans. It's also no secret that Donald Trump himself has refused to endorse J.D. Vance. On multiple occasions, he's been asked directly, who do you endorse in 2028? Will you give J.D. Vance your endorsement? He has never answered that question straight up. He says, we will see. We then got reporting that he was polling people behind the scenes about Marco Rubio versus J.D. Vance. He then did it publicly. He publicly polled people about Marco Rubio versus J.D. Vance. Surprisingly, J.D. Vance got a little bit extra applause in that clip, but that was like 2 months back. Since then, J.D. Vance has had so many low aura moments, as Gen Zers would say, and you guys get what it means. There's just no aura whatsoever. He goes on stage and he speaks like a boring human being. Don't mistake any of this as praise for Marco Rubio, but Marco Rubio is still like leagues above a more serious operator than whatever the hell J.D. Vance is whenever he tries to make a joke. So it's just... it's brutal for him. And then this New York Times article, and I'll let you hop in 1 minute. This New York Times article then comes out. And I just want to read one paragraph from it. I have a lot more to read and we have a lot more to discuss from it. But it says, while Trump conducts these polls in private, Mr. Trump often compares Mr. Vance's performance to his own achievements. He has told several allies that Mr. Vance has never won a tough race without his help. Trump's endorsement got Vance over the finish line in a tight race for an Ohio Senate seat. He's brought up the number of vacations J.D. Vance has taken as vice president. He says himself, he doesn't think he takes any, Trump. He has repeatedly mentioned the vice president's initial opposition to starting a war with Iran and has done so in front of Mr. Vance. Quote, I'm more of a peace person than you are, but I had to do it, he said to J.D. Vance. The president has also questioned his decision to send a Vance-led delegation to a negotiation session in Pakistan that failed to end the war. It failed miserably. It was humiliating. Now, we have more of the article to read, but I want to pause there and let you jump in, Mike. We already have, you know, 1,200 people watching. You guys are the best. Yeah. Hit that heart button. Tap that heart. We're going to make this a banger of a live stream.
Yeah, and make sure that you subscribe to both Adam and I on Substack and YouTube and everywhere, because the independent media is more important than ever before. And I think that part of the reason is because the corporate media, for the most part, is rolling over and dying for Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, who are two complete and total losers. And let's talk about Vance in particular, because one, for folks who watch my show regularly, you know my favorite pet nickname for him is Shitweasel, because that's what I think he is. He's just so clearly somebody who is devoid of any substance or soul in American politics. And I find him to be extraordinarily dangerous because he's essentially just a puppet of Peter Thiel, a puppet of Donald Trump, and their conduit to all of these MAGA influencers who, by the way, he's destroyed his reputation with them. His biggest value to Trump was his connection to Peter Thiel and his connection to these influencers like Tim Dillon and Joe Rogan and the rest. They're all mad at J.D. Vance. So his political utility is gone, which means now it's glaringly obvious how poor of a politician he is. And then in addition to all of that, he's been extraordinarily disloyal to Donald Trump. If I just take my political hat off for a second and evaluate this, Donald Trump made a decision to start this war with Iran. It's been a disaster. J.D. Vance recommended against doing this and then leaked right after it started. You and I talked about it at the time when this happened, when I was still recovering from my surgery. J.D. Vance leaked that he opposed this. There was a big political story about it, and it was frankly really offensive for your running mate to do this. There's no act of disrespect that I've ever seen a vice president do like that. Kamala Harris never did that to Joe Biden. Dick Cheney never did that to George W. Bush. So I don't understand why he felt like that was a smart thing to do to get in front of it. Trump has been, in my view, punishing him ever since. This article essentially confirms that if Donald Trump is running around the White House telling anybody that he can talk to, that J.D. Vance opposed the war and he's mad at him. And now I want to remind people, too, that Trump, just like a month and a half ago, made J.D. Vance the fraud czar, put him in charge of rooting out all of the fraud inside the federal government for the easily most corrupt administration in American history, which to me is hilarious because we may very well run against him in 2028, which would be a gift to the Democratic Party if we are running against him. But Donald Trump just keeps putting him in positions to fail, sending him to Pakistan to try to negotiate an end to the war in Iran when Donald Trump himself should be doing that himself, trying to end this when it just failed and blew up in his face. So consistently, it's just so obvious how Vance is a second-rate politician who would not be there if not for Peter Thiel. And I'm going to connect one more dot here, Adam, and then hand it back to you, which is there's another New York Times story out this week that Peter Thiel has basically abandoned the United States. He has moved his family to Argentina, yeah. Which you move your family to Argentina after being accused of being a fascist and a Nazi. You are never going to beat the allegations if you do that. And my favorite part of that article, guys, if you watched my video on YouTube about this, I lost my mind when I got there, is he hired a local art dealer to furnish his house. And I'm like, you can't move to Argentina and hire a local art dealer and expect that people are not going to assume that you might be a Nazi when you say things like that. But Thiel is leaving the U.S. He doesn't like the trajectory of the Trump administration. He's worried that accountability is going to come for him because he's all over the Epstein files. He's been manipulating our politics for well over a decade now. He's been manipulating the MAGA movement. And I think he sees this and goes, I bet on the wrong horse. J.D. Vance is a joke and a mess, and now I'm going to leave, and he's diversifying his ability. Now, he's not going to leave the U.S. because he wants to keep polluting our money to keep his government contracts going, but he doesn't feel safe here. And I think between Trump being mad at him, Peter Thiel being mad at him, his polling with Rubio is horrible. Like, Vance's numbers in the prediction markets are falling. Rubio basically has the lead now in the polling averages. I just think that Vance is probably not going to run. I think at this point, like, he can see it, and the smart money would be go get a corporate job, make a bunch of money, try to make a comeback 10 years from now, because he is still a young guy. And people have come back from less, but it's just a bad spot to be in.
Yeah, first of all, I like how Peter Thiel just fucked everything up for the rest of us and dipped out of the country. He helped orchestrate J.D. Vance's rise to fame, rise to power by funding his political campaign in Ohio, funding everything, and then
funded his book.
And then putting him in Don Jr.'s ear. Yeah, funding his entire career, making him a mainstream person, a mainstream operator in America. And then he helped donate to Trump in 2016. He even took the RNC stage in 2016, if you guys remember that. And then he ended up leaving the country, which is absurd. Number two, there were reports that J.D. Vance was reconsidering his run in 2028. Now, if I had to lean towards anything, I think he's going to run, but he has no aura, so anybody could come sweep him. I think Marco Rubio or Tucker Carlson would view J.D. Vance as a lightweight, and that's right. What the reporting continues to say. Let me continue with this. Mr. Trump, always keenly attuned to the optics of the presidency, says the New York Times, which I kind of disagree with. I mean, Trump thinks a lot about how he looks on TV, but he's not really attuned to the optics of the ballroom or anything. But this is Mr. Trump, always keenly attuned to the optics of the presidency, has zeroed in on moments when Mr. Vance might not look the part. He has repeatedly brought up a moment from last spring when Mr. Vance fumbled Ohio State's national football championship trophy on the White House South Lawn. Mr. Trump said he wasn't happy with him. This account of Mr. Trump's relationship with the vice president is based on interviews with more than a dozen people who are directly nearby. Through it all, Mr. Vance has exhibited the one quality Mr. Trump most prizes, loyalty. He put aside reservations about the war to back the president's handling of the conflict and carried out the traditional number two attack dog role against Trump's critics, even Pope Leo. He remains a popular figure among MAGA, or Trump's MAGA base. Tony Fabrizio, a longtime pollster for Trump, said the president chose Mr. Vance as a running mate because he appeals to those types of voters. There's another report that Susie Wiles and other White House officials told J.D. Vance to log off his phone. The New York Times says, in meetings, Mr. Vance frequently scrolls his phone and he uses social media to fight with his critics. We've seen it. He's like replied to Brian Krasenstein for some reason, which, like, all respect to Brian. Why are you beefing with the Krasenstein brothers when you're the VP of the United States?
Right.
Didn't he say, like, I don't give a shit what you call it? It was about war crimes. Do you remember that?
I do. Yeah. Well, I thought you were taking
a break. Go for it.
No, I was going to add, it's like the whole thing about breaking the national championship trophy is hilarious to me because it's just like him trying to order a donut during the campaign. It's like the guy can't get the basic stuff right. Or, I mean, I should remind people too, like, that's the same 24-hour period where he met with the Pope and Pope Francis died. And I'll just say this as like an Irish Catholic football fan. If I broke the National Football Trophy and killed the Pope in the same 24 hours, I would have an existential crisis. I don't think I'd be able to handle it. So it's amazing how he recovers from that. But you mentioned loyalty, that J.D. Vance represents all the loyalty that you would want from a loyal number two. There's no amount of loyalty that matters to Donald Trump. If you're not useful to him, he will turn on you almost immediately. And you see that right now, because yesterday, Nancy Mace, who has basically been exclusively loyal to Donald Trump, is always kissing his ass, defending him on everything, except for she wants to release the Epstein files. And she doesn't think he's done anything wrong in that. He endorsed somebody else in that primary. John Cornyn basically did everything that Donald Trump wanted except for one thing on the SAVE Act, and he had him removed. So there's no loyalty here. Trump is actually, I think, one thing that people don't talk enough about his endorsement of Ken Paxton. So the narrative going into this is Trump helped Ken Paxton win that primary. I think it's the other way around. Ken Paxton was going to win that primary. Trump's endorsement of John Cornyn would not have changed that. And Trump jumped on the bandwagon for that. So again, Trump is going to do what he thinks is best for him. Right now, they're trying to create a narrative that he's unpopular broadly in the country, but he has complete control of the Republican Party. Vance doesn't help him with that. Ken Paxton does. Marco Rubio does, because he wants to be the kingmaker. And Rubio, from a positioning standpoint, I think has still been a disaster and is not a viable presidential candidate for the Republicans in 2028. But looks far more competent because he's surrounded by a carnival of idiots who don't know what they're doing, from RFK Jr. to J.D. Vance to Pete Hegseth. They all look ridiculous. And Rubio just kind of shows up and seems normal by comparison, in the same way that I think before Ron DeSantis was running against Trump in the Republican primary, he looked like a better politician than he was, because the quality and caliber of the average Republican politician is so low right now. There's just not a lot of good politicians out there. They're getting crowded out by Trump. I'll hand it back to you, buddy. Sorry.
No. Very, very well said. I just want to say for one moment, Mike and I appreciate all of you so much. We said at the beginning of the stream that if you tap the heart, it will be a banger of a live stream. It will end up really ripping. And because we said that, because you guys helped, it's working. We're almost at 2,000 live, and we just have a beautiful community on this Saturday morning pushing for a better America, pushing for more human dignity in America. Every single human deserves dignity. And right now, it feels like our leadership doesn't value that. So we're all on that same page at a fundamental level. And I love you all for that. Okay, to continue. I keep going back to the reporting because I just find this so fascinating. So again, in meetings, this is according to like dozens of people familiar with the matters. In meetings, Mr. Vance frequently scrolls his phone and he uses social media to fight with his critics. The president frequently posts to Truth Social, but he does not spend time replying to people online as Mr. Vance does. He kind of just boosts the most crazy conspiracy theories, but I digress. Susie Wiles, Donald Trump's chief of staff, recently advised Mr. Vance to take a break from social media, as have other officials in the West Wing, according to people familiar with the interaction.
Imagine in this administration being told to lay off social media.
I know. That's what I was thinking. And also, I've actually visibly noticed J.D. Vance has lessened his social media use. I originally noticed it after the Iran war broke out. I just thought he didn't want to defend this. But then I realized that he's just not using it whatsoever. He's not defending anything. So they told him to lay off, even though he's modeling Donald Trump. It's like trickle-down corruption and derangedness, but only Trump can get away with it. Remember when Kristi Noem got fired and it was after this huge $220 million contract got exposed? This type of trickle-down corruption happens from Donald Trump. And we'll get into all of the corruption a little bit later, but this J.D. Vance story is just mind-boggling. He's going to have a serious competition with anybody who wants to either reshape the Republican Party or push somebody like Marco Rubio or push somebody like Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson is a real person we should talk about. Even Candace Owens,
yes.
I doubt she'll run, but she's got a base in the Republican Party and in the entire political sphere. But going back to J.D. Vance for just one second, I think that he's really going to struggle with something competitive in 2028. I really don't see him having the juice. I see him as a very, very surface level, superficial person.
Yeah. I mean, it's look, when you become the vice president of the United States, I'll just put my strategist hat on for a second. You own everything that your running mate does. That's the risk that you take, right? Yeah. You get a rocket strapped to your back. You become one heartbeat away from the presidency. And that works out for plenty of people. Like, ask Teddy Roosevelt, okay? They installed him as vice president basically to make him go away and give him the most irrelevant job. And then he became president, and he became a great president, by the way, because, and this has always bothered me about Donald Trump. If you study American history, some of our best presidents have been accidental presidents, where it's like, wow, the series of events that it took for that person to get in that exact place is crazy. For FDR to become president, for Teddy Roosevelt, for Barack Obama to become president, it took a series of things happening that are just very random and weird. Same thing with Trump. Trump had that same opportunity, but he's pissed it away in every possible way by being the worst type of person. But let's talk about Kamala Harris for a second, because I think this is an obviously instructive example of what happened. Kamala is her own person. She is unbelievably qualified, smart, intelligent, warm, in my opinion. But she carried so much baggage when she became the nominee with very little time to define her own identity to the American people outside of Biden's shadow. So she owned everything that Joe Biden did right, and she owned everything that Joe Biden did wrong. And unfortunately, heading into that presidential election, the American people were really mad at Joe Biden. And when you actually look at the polls, people would tell you, like, they'd be like, I like Kamala Harris more, but I'm mad at the Democratic Party. I'm mad at Joe Biden. So I'm voting for the guy that we hate because we hope we can break the system, which drives me crazy. I'm not justifying the decision. I'm just saying that that's what people will tell you. And the same thing's happening to J.D. Vance right now. The difference is Trump is way more unpopular. Trump is polling in the low 30s. It doesn't seem like there's a path back to this. I know gas prices are down like 13 cents in the last week or something like that. They think this is a big win. No, gas prices are going to stabilize at like $4 for a long time. And so maybe it'll be at 380, but like, keep in mind, it was like 225 when Donald Trump started this war. The estimate says it's going to take forever. And even before that, the economy was not good. The job market is a mess, particularly for young people right now. Wage growth is stagnant, if not, and there's evidence this week that wage growth is actually declining right now because people are not working one full-time job. More and more people are working two or three part-time jobs, which is not a great way to make money, and they don't get benefits from that. So the economy is just totally fucked up. And to be honest with you, that's not all Donald Trump's fault, but he's not doing anything to make people feel that he cares about them. He's actually outright saying he doesn't care about them.
He doesn't care. Yeah.
He doesn't care at all. And it's just going to get worse for him. So unless there's like a wave of job growth, a wave of economic opportunity, some kind of increase in wages and decrease in prices, this result for them in November and then in 2 years from now in the presidential election is just baked in. And I don't think there's really anything that they can do. And can I add one more thing too before I hand it back to you? Because you mentioned Tucker Carlson and you mentioned Candace Owens. And this is something that I cover again on my YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe to both Adam and I everywhere that you get your content. Adam is, by the way, absolutely crushing it at the clips game right now.
Thank you. You're
posting all your old clips. There's a bunch of shit I'd never seen of you like with a handheld mic making MAGA people at Trump rallies stupid that I've been sending to my staff and going, I think we need to do this. I want to crack at this. But it was so much fun. Follow Mockler HQ too is your clipping page. But Tucker Carlson, in my opinion, right now is the most dangerous man in America because he has his finger on the pulse of where I think a certain percentage of this country is going, and he understands where the evolution of the MAGA movement is going. And by the way, he's as compromised as anybody else over there. He's basically in the back pocket of Russia and Putin. It's worth noting that Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens this week, alongside a bunch of MAGA influencers, are all going to be in Russia. So what are they there for? Like, Candace claims she's there to go look at pretty churches in St. Petersburg, but it's a weird coincidence that they're all there and there's not like a good answer for it. And they're not lying about it either because that's how stupid they think we are. But it's scary. But Tucker Carlson's doing a thing where he's kind of like embracing economic populism, but getting very anti-immigrant. And like, that's where the natural evolution of the MAGA movement, I think, is going to go, whatever it becomes after this. So I view Tucker as very dangerous. And then Candace is playing an exceptionally smart game. Again, feel however you want about her. I tend to try to remove the morality of it for a second. Candace is a liar and a conspiracy theorist. But she's playing to a certain audience, and more, and the Bulwark reported on this, when you do your focus groups, when you hear people like, who do you trust right now? More and more people are talking about Candace Owens.
Yep.
And my brother, who is a Democrat, who is basically like, I would say, a relatively normal lib, voted for Kamala Harris, voted for Joe Biden, et cetera. Like, even he's like, man, I like what Candace Owens is saying. And that scares the shit out of me because I think she's nuts. But again, we're living through a weird transitory time right now where there's a jump ball for the future of the Democratic Party, jump ball for the future of the Republican Party, jump ball for the future of the country. So I think people who are dismissive of Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, anybody, Stephen A. Smith on the Democratic Party side, because he's apparently thinking about running. Jon Stewart is apparently thinking about running. This is a weird moment. We don't know how it's going to land. Let's not assume that it's going to get better. Let's plan on it getting worse, because I think it could get worse. And that's why we've got to like look at it clear-eyed. This keeps me up at night.
Yeah, I want to break down the Tucker Carlson of it all in one moment, because I think he's tapping into this young male angst in a very cynical manner. It's very cynical, but we'll touch on that in a second. You made an amazing point about J.D. Vance being so innately tied to Donald Trump's presidency, and I just want to expand on that for one moment, because as much as J.D. Vance may try to be quiet on social media or even distance himself in 2028, he is going to be forever tied to Donald Trump's flailing political career. And J.D. Vance essentially just, his political career just died at the altar of MAGA. J.D. Vance got into office and everything they promised has been a 180. He was out there on Twitter trying to dunk on people defending Renee Good, Alex Pretty. We were saying this is a murder. This is not something that should have happened. And J.D. Vance,
he called Alex Pretty a domestic terrorist. I think
moments after it happened.
Yeah.
Moments after it happened, J.D. Vance retweeted Stephen Miller. Then he was arguing with people on Twitter, going back to what Susie Wiles told him to stop doing. Then J.D. Vance was arguing with people on Twitter about the Epstein files. J.D. Vance is going to be tied to this spiraling economy, to the hiding of the Epstein files, and J.D. Vance is going to be tied to the Iran war, even if he doesn't like it. Don't forget, he went to Islamabad with a delegation, with a few people, and they came out empty-handed. That was definitely over 50 days ago now, right? That was a while ago. That was like a month and a half ago. Mm-hmm. So we've still gotten nothing. And now we have these MAGA freaks on Twitter constantly lying. I saw Scott Jennings tweeted earlier, like he tweeted 48 hours ago, basically exactly. A huge win for President Trump. This is going to be a huge win. We got everything we wanted. And it was about a rumor of a memorandum of understanding that we may sign if the negotiations go well. It's like a bunch of ifs, basically. Yeah. And they're out there trying to brag and declare victory. It is sickening. And all of these people's careers are going to die at the altar of MAGA. And we are going to make sure J.D. Vance is going to be forever tied to the fraud that he's out there trying to attack. And I want you to notice that when he's out on these campaign trails doing these really shitty like Trump impressions by attacking the media on stage, he's only centering it around fraud and cuts that they've made. And the fraud is like cuts to Medicaid and Medicare that they try to label as fraud. But the reason why I point that out is because he doesn't want to talk about the economy. He'd be on the back foot talking about the economy. What is he supposed to talk about? Foreign policy? They don't have signs saying no new wars anymore. They used to have signs saying no new wars. They don't even talk about immigration that much anymore, do they? Because they're underwater on every single one of these issues. Yeah, so he's talking about fraud. They literally have a Nick Shirley-ass campaign that they're running on the national stage right now because that's all they can talk about. So J.D. Vance is going to be tied to that forever. Even if he tries to get away from that in 2028, we have the tweets of him talking about Renee Good, talking about Alex Pretty, talking about even we were striking boats in the Caribbean for a bit. And
we actually struck a boat yesterday too. They did.
Yeah, we're still striking boats. It was dozens and dozens of boats that we struck, and there was no due process. There are actual laws for interdicting boats at sea. We have been doing it for years with no deaths, with no violence. There are processes in which our Coast Guard interdicts boats if we think there are drugs. But we just started blasting these boats away with no due process. And J.D. Vance was on Twitter saying, I don't give a shit what you call it, war crime or not. We don't care. He's literally out there defending wars. And then he's going to try to pivot to some anti-war candidate. Peter Thiel probably knows that he's uniquely weak on the national stage. That's why Peter Thiel is out of the effing country. I'm sure he's still going to find ways to contribute. Him and Elon Musk will rig the political system. But I guess that brings me over to the second topic I wanted to talk about,
Before we move on, could I add a couple of just a quick thoughts?
Of course.
Like one, Peter Thiel's right now either playing chess or looking for Nazi gold in Buenos Aires.
You guys
should absolutely go read that New York Times article or go watch my video on it because it's just crazy. But like, I want to add two things to that. The first thing on the narco-terrorist, because I just think it's important to say this, that is not a real term. They invented the term narco-terrorist to describe drug dealers. It didn't exist before. And what they're doing is, and I think it's so important because it's so scary to me, is Stephen Miller is the one who invented this term so that they could use the Patriot Act and the authorization for use of force in Iraq and Afghanistan to justify drone strikes and other strikes against terrorists. And to me, it's a really slippery slope, guys. And this is like, I didn't speak out enough about this when Obama was president because I trusted him. But now having these guys in office, we have to prepare for the worst possible way that executive power can be used. But if the president of the United States can just call somebody a terrorist and make up these terms and Congress isn't going to step in and stop this stuff, what stops them from going, oh, you know what? Those terrorists in Mexico are filling our country for opioids. Now we're going to blow something up in Mexico. And then pretty soon, It's Walter White and Jesse Pinkman getting blown up in a meth lab in New Mexico. And then you know what it is? It's targeting Mike Nellis and Adam Mockler, who, by the way, Stephen Miller has called me personally a domestic terrorist, as well as all of us domestic terrorists for standing up to them. So they use that language, I think, somewhat intentionally. And maybe it's not this administration that'll do it. But again, there's a worse version of the Republican Party that may rise from here. This is why I talk about Nick Fuentes on my show all the time. Fuentes is telling all of his people to vote Democrat in November in order to make the Republican Party weaker in 2028 so they can get somebody elected that they want, or in the future, like in 2032, when Fuentes is old enough so that he can run, which again, I don't know that he can win. He's kind of like Ben Shapiro. I don't understand the appeal of him because he's just like a whiny little shit. But I don't know what's electable and what's not electable anymore. I think that's moving. And I'm scared to death that in the future, we have a worse version of this with people that will use power in a way that we can't fathom right now, which is why the next Democratic administration has to curb executive power, or we're going to be facing drone strikes ourselves. I just think that's a slippery slope. And I wanted to add one more thing on Iran, too. Sorry, I have so many notes over
here. No, I have a lot to add as well before we get to Tucker. But yeah, keep going.
I love this. By the way, I have no end time because my kid's at swim lessons right now. So
yeah, and also, I want everybody to know, now that we have over 2,000 people watching, that Mike Nellis took a massive victory in the morning. Well, I guess we shouldn't say it's your victory.
It's not my victory.
It's your son's victory. But
my son won the championship of his flag football league, everybody, which is why we were late starting the show today. The Pink Dragons are the champions. By the way, my son named the team the Pink Dragons,
which I thought was great.
Modern masculinity. But I want to add one more thing here, because you mentioned the Iran stuff, and I think the MAGA movement's defense of the ongoing Iran conversation of Trump making a deal every 5 days that it falls apart over the weekend is so silly to me. But there was a great tweet that was like, I've been told from sources, I don't think it was Scott Jennings, but it was somebody else. Ryan Fournier, or whatever the fuck his name is, the guy that was just, by the way, arrested for abusing his girlfriend. But he was like, I've been told by sources inside the White House that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and Marco Rubio have made a deal with the Iranian government. It's 95% of the way done. The president still has to approve it. There's only two sticking points: reopening the Strait of Hormuz and what to do with Iran's uranium. Was it Scott Jennings? Okay, I was like, that is the worst tweet I've ever seen in my entire life. So the two things, like, oh guys, I struck a deal for my son to eat vegetables. The only thing left to negotiate is him eating vegetables.
Like, yeah, it's like I'm 95% of the way through making this video. I just have to script it, research it, edit, record it, and actually
shoot it and make a thumbnail.
Like, yeah, that's all I have to do. But yeah, dude, it is bad. J.D. Vance is... So here's a calculation that I saw Ezra Klein breaking down before I get to the Tucker Carlson and the young male angst and why he's appealing to that. Ezra Klein had a really good breakdown that what Trump cares about right now is not even control of the government at this very moment. He cares, but he wants control of the Republican Party. He wants to protect his legacy. He wants long-term control of the Republican Party. That's why he's still testing and seeing, like in Texas, for example. He objectively endorsed the worst candidate, the worst candidate in Texas. Like, Ken Paxton was much, much worse than John Cornyn. That's not an endorsement.
By a mile.
Yeah, it's not an endorsement of Cornyn or anything. It's just like the electability works like that. Paxton has a bunch of scandal in that state, but Donald Trump still endorsed him because he wanted to test his control. He still endorsed a bunch of Indiana Republicans who were radical. My home state of Indiana, we're in Chicago right now, but my home state of Indiana, there were about 12 Republicans who refused in the state Senate to redraw the map to help them in the midterms, basically rigging the midterms. Donald Trump put up MAGA candidates against all of them and wiped out about six of them. It's a show of power because he cares about his control of the Republican Party. Even if it costs some power in the short term, he knows that after he's in office, he's betting that he's going to live years after he's in office, that he's going to continue to have power and his endorsements have power. That's why he's withholding his endorsement from J.D. Vance. And that's what he's trying to see right now. Now, maybe he ends up endorsing Vance. Maybe this conversation ends up being flipped on its head because in 2 years he realizes J.D. Vance might be the most loyal one. But I don't think he thinks that. He knows that J.D. Vance does not have the juice. And right now the question is, who's going to protect his legacy? The stakes are so high for Donald Trump. If he gets back into office, all of these buildings that he's putting his name on, it's certainly going to be removed. Right now, the Kennedy Center, which he renamed the Trump Kennedy Center, it was up in the air and a court struck it down just yesterday. You saw that, right?
I did.
A court finally struck it down. But there are so many other things that a Democrat would remove. So the stakes are high for Donald Trump's legacy there. And he wants somebody who has the juice. And the question I want to ask the chat is, do you think J.D. Vance has the juice? Because I don't see it whatsoever. He has no juice. Now, I also don't think Tucker Carlson has the juice, but he has something that he's tapping into right now that I think is worth talking about, because this dude is pulling massive, massive numbers, not only online, but among young men, among people that I know reposting and liking his reels. I see no...
I'm dying at the chat right now because the chat just went, no, like so fast.
Somebody just said, I just puked my breakfast up. No, no one said that. That'd be crazy. But
can I add a real quick thing, which is like, I don't think Trump is going to do an endorsement until the very end of the primary. I think that he will wait and string them all out until it's either clear who's going to win, or it's like neck and neck, or somebody has a clear advantage and he's coming in to pull them off over the top. That's what it's going to be. And then there'll be like a big make good. And like that always happens in every presidential election in one way or another. But like, that's what I think it'll be. But, you know, I don't believe Barack Obama has ever endorsed in a Democratic primary since he left office. It's generally something you don't do. You let the party kind of move on from your life and legacy. Trump is, for however long he's going to be alive, he's going to linger over the Republican Party and try to meddle and influence them. And that's going to be bad for them for a while, because he's as unpopular right now as Jimmy Carter was, and as unpopular as Richard Nixon was on the way out the door with Watergate, especially, by the way, with independent voters. Those guys had to go away. And they were, I mean, they pop back up every now and again. Like Jimmy Carter had his humanitarian stuff. Like obviously Nixon had all kinds of stuff that he was doing. But for the most part, politically, they disappeared. Trump will be obsessed with them. He'll just be obsessed with them. And the Bidens are kind of lingering a little bit. Like Jill Biden's got her book out and stuff, but you know, they're not trying to meddle in everything right now. A couple of endorsements in congressional primaries I've seen, but not at the level that Trump is going to do.
Yeah. So finally, I'm going to loop back to the Tucker Carlson part because it's not your fault. I was stringing everybody along and I kept mentioning it, but we had a really, really great conversation about J.D. Vance that we will return to. But Tucker Carlson represents this very, very cynical movement right now that we need to be calling out. I see some of our friends on the left saying that Tucker Carlson, even though he's imperfect, is an ally. He is not. This is somebody who in 2020 was lying about election fraud on Fox News, live on television to tens of millions of Americans, and then texting behind the scenes about how he was sick of lying about election fraud on TV. Yep. These texts were released because Dominion voting machines, of course, sued Fox News, and they went to discovery. These came out, and Tucker Carlson was fired. He is a cynical actor who is feeding on voter apathy and youth disillusionment. I know that he's got fans of, you know, like all ages, of course, but I see young men being sucked into this pro-Tucker far-right movement because it's deeply, deeply illiberal, and he represents a middle finger to the system. But do not mistake that as some sort of ally. Even though he's taken a stance against Israel and for Palestine, that does not mean he's for human dignity. He's not for liberalism. He's trying to pull people over into an illiberal part of the spectrum. Like, illiberalism is no equality. He wants Christians to dominate. He wants very far right stuff, but he's trying to sanewash himself under the guise of taking a popular position against Israel. It is so incredibly sickening. And we see something similar with Marjorie Taylor Greene, a cynical move to use an issue in order to sanewash themselves. So off of that, Tucker Carlson is gaining a power block, a base within the Republican Party, but also with independents, even with some Democrats. If he tried to make some move, I know there would be people who definitely support him, and he could be polling competitively. That is a very real thing. But that line needs to be drawn. That delineation needs to be drawn, and we need moral clarity about that. Because if we're not speaking up about what Tucker Carlson actually is, about his actual lies and his deep, deep willingness to lie to millions of people, just like he did in 2020, just like he got fired from Fox News from. If we're not clear about that, then we're losing the line there. But yeah, J.D. Vance as well is someone who's similar. I mean, over the past 10 years, he's gone from a never Trump guy who thinks Trump...
to calling Trump Hitler.
Yeah, I mean, he was accurately diagnosing that. What he was saying there was actually a bit more nuanced than many people give him credit for. But he was saying that Trump could be like Trump's Hitler, like a cultural heroin addiction of some sort. And he was saying that he thinks Trump could prey on the worst impulses of the Republican Party. Like, he was making a pretty cogent analysis.
Yeah.
And then he realized that he could also prey on those awful impulses. He's maybe not as good at it. And that's what he does all the time, attacking the media, fighting on Twitter about things he doesn't actually believe. It's sickening. And I keep using this word, but it's deeply cynical.
Yeah, I'm going to, I see our friend Madeline Somerville in the chat right now. I'm going to try to do a Tucker Carlson impression from SNL. What are we doing? Yeah. What's going on? That's just for you, Maddie. I don't know if that was any good. We'll study it later on the tape. Good. But like, Jeremy Culhane on SNL does the best Tucker Carlson I've ever seen in my life. It's hilarious. Google it if you haven't seen it. But like, I feel like I found him. You know, like, have you ever found like an artist just before they got popular and you feel like extra connected to them? That's me with like Jeremy Culhane because he's on Dropout, which is Sam Reich's channel, which I love. I want to make a point about Tucker Carlson. I just think it's super important that some people seem to not know. Tucker Carlson is a tremendous Nepo baby and has been around forever. And like, you're too young to remember this, but like, I remember Tucker Carlson selling the Iraq war and the Bush administration's lies and being the guy on MSNBC and being the guy on CNN and being on Crossfire and
with
getting
the
destroyed.
Bow tie.
That's right, with the bow tie and like looking like a little weasel. Now he wears his little flannel outfits and he lives in Maine and he tries to pretend to be an everyman. He was literally born into Republican royalty. His dad and his entire family are massive Republicans. They were power players. He and his brother have been given every advantage in the world today. And one thing, if you leave this conversation knowing one thing about me, I fucking hate Nepo babies. I hate them. Okay, because they all act like they were born, like they hit a home run and they were born on third base at minimum, right? And it just drives me crazy. And that is consistent, something that I feel that way about Hunter Biden. I feel that way about the Kennedy kid that's running in the New York 10 race. Like, there's just so many of them absolutely drive me crazy. And I think a lot of the problems in this country can be explained by people who have never had to suffer, people who have never had to experience or rise themselves, and too many of them getting access to control. And right now, that's what Tucker Carlson could be. So I think he would be a worse version of Donald Trump. And I feel compelled to remind people, he's very aligned with Russia. He's very complimentary of Putin.
Yes.
Like, Trump allows himself to be manipulated because Putin says the right things, and Trump kind of wishes that he could be that kind of oligarchy dictator, and that the system in this country is at least holding up enough to prevent him from doing that. Tucker Carlson will just straight up be a puppet. He's just going to do whatever he's told to do on any given day. He's been over there so many times. And it's not just Russia. He's also been over in Saudi Arabia. He's been over in other foreign countries. I think he's got a home in Saudi Arabia. I learned that the other day too. So it's like, nothing about these guys who scream America first all the time, which, by the way, is an absolute racist dog whistle to attack immigrants and to justify what Trump is doing with ICE. Nothing about them screams America first. They care about themselves and they care about foreign governments. And one of those things that Democrats have to fucking take seriously when we win the next election, when we win in 2028, is rooting out and weeding out this foreign influence in our government. Whether it would be AIPAC funneling money through all of these fake super PACs to try to win these primaries, including what happened to Tom Massey, but also what happened here in Illinois, whether it be all these content creators that are taking money and being paid, I think people should be careful. And I just shot a video about this today, is like, be careful, because there's so many people out there, Democrat and Republican, who are being paid for the takes that they're giving. And when you and I, because I stole this from you, like, I talk about building an independent media company that's going to take on MAGA, take our country back. I mean, truly independent. I'm not taking money from some billionaire in the Democratic Party. The DNC does not pay me. I disclose to you when I'm working with a candidate like Mallory McMorrow or Peggy Flanagan. When I talk about them, I tell you about it. But nobody's funding what we're doing. I get to do what I do because 4,000 or 5,000 of you are helping me with paid subscriptions so that I could pay for my staff and so I can get this studio. Same thing with Adam. And then obviously we get creator rewards from YouTube and other places. But there are people out there, including, like, I'll just give you, again, I'm going to shit inside my own house for a second, but I'm not going to shout out the creator. There's a creator, you guys can Google it, it's public, who took $400,000 from Tom Steyer's gubernatorial campaign in California to be paid to promote him and did not disclose it. There's a creator right now on X that's all in trouble right now. Again, I'm not going to call her out by name because I don't do that on my own side. However, she took a bunch of money from Graham Plattner and is selling Graham Plattner stuff to people and got called out on it. There's so many people that, because our campaign finance laws have not caught up to the moment in time that we are with so much money and foreign government interference, that will not be honest with you. And that's why we have to be discerning about who we trust. The erosion of our institutions. You don't trust the media. You don't trust the government anymore. And you have good reason for all that. People are trusting people. And it doesn't have to be Adam or I. Like, be discerning about us too. If we say a thing or believe a thing that doesn't line up with what you believe about us, call us out, ask us questions about it. But be more discerning, because there's so many people that are manipulating the system right now. And our enemies have figured that out. Russia's figured that out. China's figured it out. Other foreign governments figured out. Saudi Arabia, Israel, they're all doing it right now. Qatar is doing it right now. Qatar literally built like a park in Washington, D.C., which is kind of odd. And it's just happening everywhere. That has got to stop. And it's bigger than just Citizens United, which, like, I see Leonardo, shout out to you. I saw you brought that up. We absolutely have to overturn that and fix that. But there's so many other things we have to do too. Like, we have to fix the Foreign Registration Act. Because Tucker Carlson's basically a foreign agent. That's what he is. Like, there's no doubt about it. And what's happening is, there's actually, there's a Brad Parscale article, I think, from The Intercept, that people should take a look at, where Brad Parscale, who was Trump's digital director, and I think briefly his campaign manager too for a while, set up a basically shell organization where foreign government entities or VCs or something like that were funneling money to his firm. And then they were funneling that to candidates and other organizations and creators and stuff. That's the middleman that they do. They've now figured out that you can just create an LLC and funnel the money that way. And so now all that gets reported is like the payment to Brad Parscale, not the payment to the creators. That's all got to be reformed, guys. And Democrats have to go several layers deeper than Citizens United, or this is going to keep happening.
I was going to say, I love how drama the chat is. They're so messy. They were like, call out the names. We need names now. They really
I try to not call out people on our team. Like, I just, because they're like, look, I don't begrudge any of the people who are taking the money. It's very hard to be a creator and like very hard for people to make money doing this. I don't think you guys know. It's like Adam's doing way better than I am, by the way. But like, we're both doing pretty well. But it's hard to get to that level where like you have a sustainable income. Like I'm literally right now thinking about quitting my consulting job at the end of this year and doing this full time. But it took me 2 years to get to that. So I don't blame people who are taking the money. I do blame them for the foreign government stuff, but the domestic stuff, I don't blame them for.
Speaking of the foreign government stuff, very, very quickly though.
Yeah, please.
It's funny that Peter Thiel, number one, moved out of the country after donating so much, but number two, didn't get an ROI for his grooming. I mean, he did because Palantir is getting all these contracts, but read this situation. This is a timeline. Okay. Peter Thiel grooms J.D. Vance from the beginning of his career. He funds his book, funds his original Senate campaign, and tries to make him his perfect pet for over 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Then J.D. Vance, quote, ending Ukraine is my proudest achievement, becomes vice president, but makes an ass of himself and now is considering abandoning his presidential ambitions. Soon after, Thiel leaves the United States and goes to U.S.-Israel vassal Argentina. Something obviously went very, very wrong for Peter Thiel, and now they're afraid. So, I mean, J.D. Vance literally blew it. Peter Thiel is now getting contracts from... Let me actually look this up because we have a whole document about this.
While you're looking that up, I just want to make this point real quick too. This is all, Elon Musk is exactly the same. There's a ton of these guys in this class, the billionaire class, the Epstein class, they're all the same. They destroy the country, they steal it of its assets, and they're going to fucking leave the rest of us to hold the bag and fix it.
Read this corruption that we don't talk about enough. First of all, Trump tweeted out the Palantir ticker sign, like the dollar sign PLNTR, a company he invested in order to pump the stock. Peter Thiel benefits directly from that. Then the administration announced a $175 billion Golden Dome missile defense initiative that then has turned into $1.2 trillion missile defense initiative. And due to that, Palantir was given a bunch of contracts. Massive contracts for this missile initiative have been given to Elon Musk's SpaceX, Palmer Luckey's Anduril, and Peter Thiel's Palantir. Now, a missile defense system does not make sense for the United States because, number one, Canada and Mexico are closest to us. I mean, unless Trump continues provoking them, how he has been. But other than that,
China's basically got an allyship with Canada now. So
but not in a military sense. It's more of an economic sense. Yeah, true. Yeah. But the only way it would make sense is if Russia or China or some country in the Middle East were firing. But if that's happening at that point, we have way bigger problems than a missile defense system. If Russia or China's firing at us, we're already in World War III. So they're just wasting money and giving money to Peter Thiel's Palantir while Donald Trump tweets out the ticker sign in order to pump up the very stock of the person who helped fund and bankroll J.D. Vance's political career. Yeah. It's crazy what happens when you begin to connect all of the dots like that, because the corruption is effing insane. I mean, we can go through the expansion on the corruption document, but I want to hand it back off to you.
No, well, it's just like, it's all one story. Like, I know it feels like there's a million things going on, but it's just one story of outright naked corruption and greed everywhere. And like, right down to, you know, okay, they want to build a missile shield here in the United States, which is really stupid. I agree. By the way, the missile shield that they've spent untold amounts of American taxpayer dollars to build in Israel doesn't fucking work, which has been pretty proven out over the last couple of months. And Iran and other countries have been investing in drone strike technology that just undercuts all of that and doesn't keep anybody safe. So there's like a whole problem there. So if they wanted to convince me to like invest in like anti-drone strike technology, that would make a lot of sense to me. But they've pushed our allies away from us. And then in addition to that, they've created some new talking points that, frankly, to me, have never made any sense. But like Greenland, they're like, oh, Russia and China are trying to get a foothold militarily in Greenland so that they can attack the United States. Zero evidence of that. Zero evidence of that. The EU literally had to put troops, European countries, Germany, France, and I feel like one other country, had to put troops on the ground in Greenland to get the United States to back off Trump trying to take over Greenland. Now they're trying to argue that Cuba is buying drones in order to attack the United States, so we have to go take over Cuba now. And it's like they just make shit up. And I'm old enough to remember, again, you were but a wee lad, Adam, but like the Bush administration at least took the time to justify a lie and speak to the American people and go, Iraq has weapons of mass destruction, and here's the evidence that we have. And they pressured Colin Powell to lie in front of the UN about it. There was a whole like 6-month campaign to get us to do one fucking war. And every week, Donald Trump's just like saying a thing, and like half the media just goes, okay. And they just move on to the next thing. And Republicans in Congress are useless. Like, it's just
now
mind boggling.
We've stumbled ass backwards. No, I agree. We've stumbled ass backwards into a war that they're now trying to post hoc rationalize by changing the objective week by week by week.
Right.
And what I mean by that is, first, it was regime change. Then they realized that's a high bar to clear. So then they said denuclearization. Now they're basically abandoning that. And the main goal is to reopen the Strait of Hormuz that was already open about 3.5 months ago. We are now on week 14 or so of the war that was supposed to last 4 weeks. And anybody who is my age or your age or any of the ages in the chat, we have seen the United States go to war in the Middle East. For my entire life and your entire life, we've been at war in the Middle East in some regard. And we've been told over and over it'll make us safer by people like J.D. Vance and Donald Trump, by people like Bush, by all of these leaders who
Tucker
want to
Carlson.
Lie to us. Tucker Carlson as well. He was defending these forever wars.
Yes.
And now a lot of these same people are on TV still defending it, still defending these forever wars, people like Scott Jennings. And we've learned, all of us in chat, we've been primed to learn that just because we get some small military victory doesn't mean that translates to a political concession. What I mean is that we killed Saddam Hussein. That wasn't like a hard mission, but that turned into years and years of a grinding counterinsurgency. We also had temporary wins against the Taliban. But then that turned into years and years of grinding counterinsurgency and a $8 trillion increase in our debt. Sorry, it's $8 trillion. Now, just because we sunk their 50 to 60 year old Navy does not mean we should believe people like J.D. Vance when he says that's making us safer or translating to any political victory. What have we gotten from this? Nothing. No nuclear concessions, no concessions on the Strait thus far. We're nearing a maybe memorandum of understanding, which could potentially lead to a 60-day window to restart negotiations. Like, do you get the wordplay that they're using there? We
yes.
maybe will restart the potential negotiations.
Because they want the headline, Adam. They're trying
yep.
to get a cheap headline, making it look like they have a deal when they don't.
And the stock market somehow reacts to the headline every time as if it's amazing news, but nothing.
Because it's market manipulation, Adam. They're just manipulating the market. That's all that it is. It's just like, it's no different than Trump buying a bunch of shares in TKO right before they announced this UFC fight at the White House. It's the same shit.
So I just want to point out that this is making all of us less safer. In the name of making America safe again, the CSIS reports that the Trump administration has burned through 1/3 to 1/2 of our precision stockpile missiles, our interceptor missiles. Every single missile that we burn here is one less missile that Russia or China has to be worried about if they want freedom of military action in any sense. So it's a huge mess. We are less safe. The people that have created this mess are now dipping. I genuinely think we need laws to reel in not only money in politics, but the power of people like Elon Musk. Listen, if you want to be wealthy, that's fine. We shouldn't like ban being wealthy in America. I'm not one of those people, but I do think that you shouldn't be able to have so much excess wealth. Let me reword it. I do think that if you're wealthy, you have a duty to the community around you to at least make sure that people have some level of care. And there are two types of people that I've seen on this planet. People who become successful and they use their success to screw everybody else over. That's what I see in power right now. People like Donald Trump and J.D. Vance who will stiff their contractors and F other people over. And then I see people who become successful, people like you and I, and who want to give back to our communities and make sure that everybody eats, as my lawyer says. Everybody eats. Everybody will eat in this deal, that everybody is doing well. And I think that we need more duty on this planet right now. We shouldn't disincentivize success. Success is fine. I want everybody to be successful. But if you're one of those people who's able to experience success, don't it turn into a J.D. Vance. Don't turn into an Elon Musk. Don't turn into a Donald Trump. Especially don't turn into a Donald Trump, please.
No, I mean, the world needs fewer Donald Trumps. The world needs zero Donald Trumps, but I'll take fewer if I can get it. But
yo,
I
we're getting 3,000 live. If you want to help us break a record on our live streams and hit 3,000 people watching live, you can tap that heart on the bottom right. Sorry to continue asking,
no,
but
good.
We're really breaking records right here in this stream.
I mean, so what's our record? All. Was our record like 2,800?
No, I mean, our prior record was maybe 2,400, I think.
Okay, so we've already smashed it, guys. That's awesome.
We're nearing that 3,000, which
on
is
on a, at least in Chicago, a lovely Saturday. We were by the lake and we were playing flag football this morning. It was awesome. I want to connect this electorally for a second. And I'm going to connect it to your ordeal with Scott Jennings from that was like a month ago. Amazing how time flies when you murdered that gentleman and he disappeared from TV for a week and a half.
Metaphorically.
Exactly. To be clear, there's no violence in the Adam Mockler, Mike Nellis universe. But there's a generation of old failed political leaders who have been doing the same stupid shit and promising the greatness was just around the corner, of which Donald Trump right now is the face of. But there are lots of other people. And there's two things here. One, they don't want to hear from young people like you, Adam, and they don't want to hear from reasonably young people like me who still hasn't turned 40 yet. But, you know, they want to send people your age to go fight and die in these wars. And then you get in their face on CNN and they're like, oh, this kid, and they're going to change his diaper. No. They're so dismissive of you. It's so stupid and it angers me, but it exposes how weak their arguments are. And that brings me to the main Senate race, because I get asked about Graham Platner every time I go on Newsmax, every time I go on News Nation.
Yeah, they love talking about Graham Platner.
Because Graham Platner has that stupid Nazi tattoo and I'm not going to justify it. He got it taken care of. A lot of his Reddit comments are dumb and offensive, and you hope, pray that he's grown from all of that and that he is the real deal. I don't know if he is or not, but I pray that he is.
I like how conservatives are like, oh no, a populist outsider with a sketchy past isn't fine in your party, but it's fine in our party. But either way, the tattoo was dumb, of course.
Of course it was. But meanwhile, Paul Ingrassia still works at the White House, by the way, who's basically an out Nazi who had to withdraw his Senate confirmation a few months ago. And we're all just like, whatever. A Republican member of Congress had a staffer with a swastika in his Zoom background. That was a two-hour story.
And Graham Platner doesn't strike me as a hateful anti-Semitic person in that manner. I know that he does have a sketchy passive comments, but I think he was genuinely there's a lot of different justifications, but he never has had an anti-Semitic past of being an actual malicious person.
No. Now he has been posting on Reddit about jerking off in
porta potties,
but whatever. I mean, he who cast the first stone, I guess, on that one. I'm kidding, guys. Don't find my Reddit account. I don't have one. This is why I don't comment on the internet, guys, other than my tweets. But the point I want to make is about Susan Collins, because Susan Collins, Graham Platner said that Susan Collins wanted to send young men like him to go die overseas in the military. And her response was, well, nobody drafted him, he made a choice to go. And I'm like, yeah, and you should honor that choice. People who go serve in the military are incredibly brave. They want to defend this country. They want to make it a better place. They want to keep us safe so that, idiots like you and I, Adam, could go on Substack and talk and enjoy our days and be free and safe. And that's what they're doing. So when you have a responsibility as an elected official to send people into war, which, by the way, they still haven't voted whether or not there should be a war authorization in Iran like they did in Iraq. But when you make that vote, it should be sacred. You make sure that they have the things that they need. And I reminded Susan Collins on the internet, one, the comment was just offensive. But I want to remind people, Susan Collins voted and defended the war in Iraq because that's how long she's been in Congress. She's been there basically my entire life. OK, and not only did she send people to go die in a war that didn't make sense, she didn't send them over there with the shit that they needed to keep themselves safe. There were 60,000 troops who were sent to Iraq without Kevlar vests, and Susan Collins voted for that budget. And I hadn't seen anybody brought it up, but I remembered it because I was there. I was protesting the Iraq war when I was 18 and 19, and I was pissed. But that's the quality of the leadership that we have. They're old. They're failed. They've accomplished nothing. What's Susan Collins's chief accomplishment for the people of Maine? Nothing. She's a rubber stamp for whatever the Republican Party wants to do. She votes against them whenever Lisa Murkowski feels like she can't take the negative vote because Murkowski has to play that role too. At least Murkowski's actually stood up a few times to Donald Trump. Susan Collins is useless. So when they ask me, they go, Mike, if you were a Maine voter, would you vote for Graham Platner? And I'd be like, goddamn right I would. Not because I like Graham Platner. I don't like him yet. I don't trust him yet. I'm skeptical of it. But as a harm reduction voter, I look at somebody new who I don't believe is going to vote for more stupid wars that isn't going to rubber stamp Donald Trump's agenda. Doesn't mean I'm not concerned about Graham Platner's tattoo and his Reddit comments. I am. They're inappropriate and they're gross. However, I know that Susan Collins is going to send young men over to go die my age and your age, because, by the way, they raised the draft to 44. So I'm now still draft eligible, which scares me. And I have a 7-year-old son. in 20 years when Susan Collins is running for a 10,000 term, is she going to be trying to send my son over to Qatar or Saudi Arabia? Like, no, I don't want these people anywhere near the government. It's just they suck.
It is the old guard versus the new guard personified in that race. And now the Republicans are saying, no, the Democratic Party does not get to have populist outsiders who have a past of sketchy comments, even though that perfectly represents the entire party for the past decade. The party that has become increasingly toxic because they don't know when to tell Donald Trump no. That is a difference. When we have people in our party who are, you know, we take time to trust, who we have to build up trust with, we make sure that we hold them accountable. People like Eric Swalwell, for example, he was out of the party within 24 hours of this article dropping. They have had people in the Republican side on Congress like Matt Gaetz that they have been defending and protecting for years and years
Ken
and years.
Ken Paxton, Matt Miller.
Ken Paxton.
Max Miller in Ohio beat the shit out of his wife, who is the daughter of a sitting Republican senator, and even she's not safe.
It's what does so that tell despicable.
You? Hold on. I just want to make this point. Okay. They treat women so disrespectfully with their legislative agenda, but then they treat them so poorly in the way that they talk about them, and then they have no problem with people who put their hands on. You do not put your hand on a woman, okay? And I'm going to spend the rest of my life, if I ever found out that my son put his hands on a woman, he would be dead to me, because that's how important I think it is for us to be good men and good human beings. But just think about how this exposes everything about the Republican Party. The daughter of a sitting Republican senator is too afraid of Donald Trump to speak out against a sitting congressman who beat the shit out of his daughter. That's how scared they are of him. That's how little moral clarity and courage they have. If you're the daughter of a Republican senator, Bernie Moreno, and his daughter, I believe her name is Emily, okay? He threw scalding water at her chest and burned her. He beat her in front of their kids. And even he gets protected. She's not safe. Then none of us are safe. Nobody's safe.
Yeah, that's his entire MO in politics, is essentially just having threatening people in politics, threatening and bullying people out of the Republican Party. It's so toxic that I actually want to talk about all of these singers dropping out of America 250 last week.
A lighter topic, please. I'm literally like tearing up. It's how bad I am.
No. It was a really fucked up story. There's a lot of really fucked up, really, really fucked up stuff that Donald Trump is allowing, permissing, and creating in the Republican Party in a top-down manner. I mean, he's it's like trickle-down corruption or trickle-down shittiness. Because when he's talking about women in this manner, when he's allowing people to be corrupt in this manner, you see it trickle down to other people in the party. And now the entire party is toxic. That's why they had to trick a bunch of singers into going to this America 250. And that's why over half of them have dropped out. You guys have heard about this in chat, right? In America 250.
I've heard about it. It's hilarious. It's really funny.
At the National Mall, they made this announcement that they were going to have Martina McBride, Young MC, CNC Music Factory, Vanilla Ice, The Commodores, Bret Michaels, Morris Day, all performing. Well, guess what? Then everybody began to drop out, saying they were lured there under false pretenses. Martina McBride canceled. Young MC dropped out. The Commodores then canceled. Then Morris Day said he was tricked into it. Then Bret Michaels said he was tricked into it. Now, more and more have dropped out. I actually don't even think I have the updated chart right here.
There's only two left. It's Vanilla Ice, and I forget who the other one is. But
oh, my chart from I screenshotted this chart last night, and apparently more people have already dropped out overnight.
I was dismayed at Young MC being on the list when I first saw it, because I love Young MC. And I was so upset, but then we got the truth. Like, thank God.
It kind of goes to show how incredibly toxic the entire Republican Party is for all of the reasons that we've listed throughout this video, including their rhetoric around women, the economy, the Epstein files.
Flo Rida is the other one. Thanks to Chad. Flo Rida is the other one. Sorry.
Flo Rida is the other one. Okay, good. And
you know, when I think high class art, I think Flo Rida.
Yeah, they're already reaching from the bottom of the bucket. And I like how there's this whole discourse on right wing Twitter now where Matt Walsh, I think, is like, right wingers need to create our own cultural art. Yeah. We need to push our own art. And it's like, dog, the reason why you guys are right wing commentators is because you're failed artists in the first place. And the Daily Wire even tried
Michael
to get
Nulse.
Daily Wire tried to get into art with the Pendragon cycle, the Pendragon cycle, and it failed. It lost them millions of dollars, and they had two CEOs turn over. So maybe the reason why liberals are more in the media is because creative people who are open and smart tend to be liberal. You can't reverse engineer your own conservative art in that manner. But
well, can I add something, which is just like a core element of being able to create good art is empathy and like an understanding of the world around you. Like usually like good art has some commentary to it that's worth hearing about. And like, this is why like Rob Schneider thinks he should be like a big Hollywood star and he's not. Same with Adam Carolla. They have nothing interesting to say. They have no insights. And there are some guys that are like in the vein of that, like a Shane Gillis, et cetera. Like there's some commentary there, but it's not great.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I have to go in like 2 minutes, but I want to say one more thing to everybody. Mike Nellis and I live and breathe on independent media. We both are building teams around us that can help us push for a better democracy focused about human dignity. And if you guys want to help support us in any manner, you can become a paid subscriber to either the Adam Mockler Substack or the Mike Nellis Substack. You can become a free subscriber, share a Substack around. Every Saturday and Wednesday, we do live streams at the exact same time at 10 a.m. Central. So become a free or a paid subscriber below. We were right about to hit 3K, so I hate to dip off, but I did have plans in about 6 minutes, and this stream was just so good that we ended up cooking for a while. You guys,
hour and 10 minutes almost.
Hour and 10 minutes. You guys are the best community we could ever ask for. Congrats to Mike Nellis. Congrats to your son on all the success with Flag Football. We're going to continue cooking some great debate shows, great debate formats, great live streams. Support us on Substack and on YouTube. I love you all. And yeah.
Yeah, we love you guys. Thank you. We'll see you soon. Make sure you subscribe, Substack, YouTube, everywhere. If you want to support us on Substack in particular, $8 a month, $80 a year goes a long way to pay for our staffs. We both got teams of people who help us. Love you guys. Adam, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Everybody stay safe and unplug this weekend. Take some time for yourself. Be with your loved ones.
Yeah, I agree.
Talk to you guys soon.
Peace out.
Bye.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.